Amazing. So let's give God the glory, because in all those tough times, those France situations that we hear about, we know that God is in control. God has a plan. And sometimes we don't see the result of that plan. But yesterday, we just had a glimpse of God's plan for his people. So what a privilege it was yesterday. And David and Ben asked me to talk about community. And because if you remember, we were talking, Ben was talking last week about character. And so as I sought God for what he wanted to talk to us about community, this term tribe came up time and time again as I was seeking God. And so that's a key part of what I want to bring this morning, is this concept of God's people, God's kingdom, but also this concept of tribe and how important it is in God's kingdom. But before we do that, I've just asked a couple of our brothers here with us this morning just to say welcome and good morning.
Welcome every morning. Welcome everyone. Thank you for coming to the church.
Good morning, everyone. I've been coming to this church now for over 30 years, and it's always a joy and a pleasure to come on a Sunday morning, and particularly when there's some new folk coming in, as we've seen this morning. So you're very welcome. Do you know you're missed if you're not here? I look around when I come, and the people I'm expected to see aren't here. I wonder why. And it's good to have that feeling. We're part of a family, we're part of a fellowship, we're part of God's kingdom, which is really great. So you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ray. No doubt in any of our minds as to where Mike's from. And just by the way he talks, he betrays in the nicest possible way where he's from. Ray could have spoken in his native black country, and we would have known exactly where he's from. Unfortunately, his Silhillian accent is now overtaking that of the black country. This is just an amazing scripture. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. I'll read that again. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I don't know about you, but that challenges me to the core. I don't want to be thrown into the fire. I want to be that fruit, that tree that's bearing good fruit. And therefore, that scripture challenges me about being a good tree. And that says to me, how can I be a good tree that I would bear good fruit? And this concept, this whole thing about community, so I want to talk this morning about the importance of knowing which tribe I'm from. Knowing about where do I belong, where do my loyalties lie, And who and what is influencing my life so that I can be conscious about how I am affecting other people? So these are the areas that I want to talk about this morning, because if we are going to bear good fruit, then we have to be building good things into ourselves. And if we're going to impact our community for the good, then we need to be influencing in the right way, and therefore we have to have that ability to bear that good fruit. And I'd say to you that just as Mike betrays his birth heritage in the way he speaks, the way that we speak betrays what's within us and Christ in us. If we're bearing good fruit, will come out from us. As I said earlier, Ben talked last week about community, about character, and explained that we were on this theme of character, community, and calling. And if you remember, he talked about character, and he talked about the character of Christ, and challenged us, do we look like him? Do we sound like him? Do we walk like him? Because if we are living out God's plan for us, if Christ is living within us, then we will be salt and light and yeast, or leaven, within our community. And he challenged us about laying down our lives, not choosing necessarily about where we want to serve, but just being willing to serve. And if you remember, last week was our Remembrance Sunday, and Ben reminded us about all those men and women over the years who've laid down their lives without counting the cost. But Ben also brought this warning about misrepresenting Christ. And that goes back to this idea of being cast into the fire. We don't want to be seen to misrepresenting Christ. So how can we avoid that? Where do our real allegiances lie? How are those allegiances that we have influencing us? And how does that impact the way that we actually live? And how does that affect the way that we function as the body of Christ? And how do we interact with the community? God chose the nation of Israel to be a model for the rest of the world. And his plan for Israel was that they would be constituted as 12 tribes. And that's very clear that his model for kingdom and community, tribes were at the very center of this model. And so we read in Genesis, in Numbers, about the God commanding Moses to count the tribes of Israel, and how he laid down an organizational structure for the nation of Israel that was based upon those tribes. So those tribes were central to the way that God wanted the nation of Israel to be governed. And so we see this pattern of nation, tribe, clan, and family. And that has an inward focus in the way that the people of Israel organize themselves, but it also has an outward focus as well, so that when the hard times came, when they went into battle, and Peter reminded us earlier on in his prayer that we are in a battle. We're not in a battle against flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual battle. And therefore, it's important that we stand together, we stand united as part of God's plan, as God's tribe here at SCF. And this creates a very clear understanding of us, who us is, who I am, and the people with whom I'm in relationship. But it also creates a very strong perspective on who they are. And that gives us that ability to relate. It gives us a relational framework. And before we know this is God's model, we know the reality of it. So we know what it's like to be part of a family and to work inside that family. In years gone by, people lived in terraced houses. They lived in houses close by one another. Whole generations lived closely together. People, generation after generation, lived in the same sort of place. And that sense of community grew. And so you knew who you were. And then people get dispersed. Mobility arises. People move off. And people lose that sense of identity. And as we lose that sense of identity in our communities, there's a real danger. Because nobody owns anything anymore, and we feel invisible within that community. And that's how communities start to break down, because there's a lack of belonging. There's a lack of recognition of who we belong to and how we're part of that community. It's also, interestingly, we see it in the way that armies are governed and led throughout the world. This idea of smaller and smaller units joining together into bigger units so that you create this sense of belonging within those units. So that in good times and in bad times, people learn to live together. And people who've been in the army often say it's about like that's where their family is, because they build up those strong links. And for many of us, that identity has been shaped by, our identity is shaped by our families, for good or for bad. Where we grew up has shaped us. So the food that we like probably is very, very much geared to where we grew up. You know, I'm not into faggots and peas particularly, but I am into black puddings. And that says something about where I was brought up. That's had that influence on me. That impact of family can be hugely positive, but it can also be hugely negative. And we have the opportunity as the body of Christ to impact those negative effects that family has had. And so Rich and Tash, Chris and Anna, Alan and Mary are just some of the examples of people in this church who are seeking to change the negative impact that negative influences of family have had on young lives. And they're seeking day by day to build into those new lives, to change those lives for the better. It impacts also how we see ourselves, our expectations of ourselves, but it also impacts how other people see us. Because, like it or not, people have stereotypes. People have stereotypes that as soon as we start to speak, they probably make a judgment. So, us in Lancashire, we have stereotypes about those people from across the border in Yorkshire. And there's a fairly widely held belief that anybody from Yorkshire has got long pockets and short arms. And that sort of stereotype can affect the, as soon as we enter into a discussion, it affects the way people hear the message that we're starting to bring. So what we are on the inside shows on the outside. And those negative influences from our families, that lack of belonging, those attachment issues, those negative experiences come out in the way that people behave. So we see people from with negative life experiences as a, within family seeking out those attachments in gangs and in other areas where that, those attachments can be formed. We see bitterness and unforgiveness taking hold in people's lives and those unresolved hurts. And we also see those wrong words coming out from people. That bad fruit that we, none of us wants any of these things to happen. But unless we are consciously aware of these things in our lives and the impact that other people are having on us, then these things will have that impact on, our, on the way that we engage with other people. There's a lot of theory around organisations, and organisational theory tends to point to us relating well to around about 8 people and perhaps 10 as a most, and that's the way that many organisations are structured. And so here in SCF, the way that we organise our home groups tends to be around about 10 or 12 people in a home group, because then we can build those close relationships within that group. Any more than that, and people start to break off into factions. They start to break off into subgroups. And that's because this plan that God has for us is there hardwired within us. So we will seek out those groups to be part of, regardless of what else is happening. We'll seek out those people who we feel comfortable with. We'll seek out those people with similar interests, backgrounds, purpose and views. Many of us here have chosen to be part of God's kingdom. And we've chosen, the people this morning chose to be part of the SCF tribe. That's a conscious choice, to be part of the SCF tribe. Now, it would be good, perhaps over coffee. You've heard something from Gary and Rachel already this morning about the reasons why they decided to join SCF. But perhaps ask them some more about that. Ask Lucy why she went away to Cardiff and has come back, and despite this being a mum and dad's church, she's decided to join it. So, you know, there are... Ask them why. Understand those things. This again, I find this passage from James. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. This first part is about having the right heart. And then it goes on, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. So this is about, this second part is very much about having the right friendships, the right allegiances, associating ourselves with the right people. I'd suggest to you that this last piece around submit yourselves then to God, part of submitting ourselves to God is actually offering up to him the groups that we are part of, the people that we are engaging with. Making sure that the people that we are engaging with, the groups that we are associating ourselves with, are the right groups that God wants us to have and be part of. This place isn't called a bridge without cause. In choosing the name The Bridge, we were very conscious that this place is a bridge where people go out from, out into the community, but also where the community can come into God's tribe as well. So, as God's people, we go out and we also come back. So these tribal allegiances that we have shape us. It's good to remember, good to check out who are our relationships with. And those relationships, for many of us, for most of us, are face-to-face relationships. And those are hugely powerful. But in this world of ours, these virtual relationships are more and more influential upon people's lives. Have we got the right virtual relationships as well as the right physical relationships with people? Who are we allowing to influence our lives? Those spiritual relationships. Are we allowing the right people to speak into our lives to impact our spiritual well-being as well as our physical and emotional well-being as well? Where are those really strong allegiances? And somebody once said to me, the way that you check this is with your diary, and in those days it was with your checkbook. Checkbooks are becoming less and less important these days. But where are we spending our time? If we were to check our diary and do a bit of a checklist over a week, where's our time being spent? Is it being spent with the right people doing the right things? Where are we spending our money? In Luke, there's this great verse, Luke 12, 33 and 34. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are we investing our money in the right places? Are we spending our money in the right ways? Or are we building up false gods instead of investing in God's kingdom? Those of us who are fortunate enough to be in a relationship, know what it's like just to be wanting to be with somebody, that you really want to spend time with them. When you're apart from them, you want to be with them. You don't feel totally whole unless you're with that person. Where is your emotional commitment? Are you emotionally committed to the right people? Are you choosing out? Are you longing for relationships that are wholesome, or are you longing for relationships that are not healthy? How are those allegiances, those alliances, those time, how are they affecting you intellectually? What's in your head? What are you thinking about? Physically, our bodies are temples for Christ, for the Holy Spirit to live within us. Are we keeping ourselves healthy, physically, emotionally and spiritually? Are we making those intentional choices? Are we making the right intentional choices? So the challenge for me was, am I making the right choices? Am I fit and ready to go out across that bridge and be a representative of Christ? Or am I going out across that bridge and in the danger of misrepresenting Christ? Am I in danger of bearing bad fruit? Am I in danger of being cut down and thrown into the fire? Do I need to walk away from some of those relationships that I'm in that are having a bad impact upon my life? Do I need to recommit to a tribe or some habits, some relationships that have fallen away, that were good for me, but I haven't been maintaining those relationships? That could be just as simple as saying, you know, I've not been getting to home group. I really need to start going back to home group. I had a really good friendship with that person. They were really challenging me about my prayer life. And I haven't met them for a long time. I need to allow them to challenge me again in my life. And get a reality check from somebody who really loves you and cares for you. I was I was driving back from Birmingham a couple of weeks ago, and I got to the Robin Hood Island, and somebody cut me up at the roundabout. And I have to admit that Turkey and Plonker were some of the milder terms that came out of my mouth at that point. And fortunately, I had my wife at the side of me who was able to act as my conscience. And she was able to say, Craig, do you realize what you've just said? But so often that happens, doesn't it? That we fall into bad habits and we need somebody just to remind us that you stepped off the path. You need to get back on the path. And in that instance, it was said firmly, but it was said with love. This is an amazing, amazing piece of scripture. And this is about Moses going up onto the mountain to be with God. And Moses comes down with the tablets. And scripture tells us that his face was radiant because he'd spoken with the Lord. Are our faces radiant? Or have they lost some of that radiance that we had? Have we lost some of that enthusiasm that we had when we first came to Christ? When everybody said, wow, he or she's really different. They're talking differently. They're just different. What is it about them? Have we lost that? Has life got in the way? Have people had the wrong influence over us that means that the radiance of Christ is no longer shining on our faces? Because I don't want to misrepresent Christ. I want to go out there into the world and I want people to know, just by the way I speak and the way I act and the way I choose to react, that Christ is in me. Because I don't want to be cut down and cast into the fire. I want to be like Moses. And I want to bear good fruit for Jesus. So let's all be careful about the tribes and the allegiances that we form. And let's make sure that we are the aroma of Christ. That Christ is in us, but also we're impacting on the community that we're part of as well. Thank you. Sally.
Thank you, Craig. I don't think I've really heard such a succinct kind of message about which tribe do I belong to. So, Father, before we move on, we just want to take a moment just to think about that. What tribe do I belong to? Who am I spending most of my time with, and are they influencing me for good? Are they bringing the best out of me? Holy Spirit, we give you permission to just show us over these next coming moments or hours or days, because we want to be more Christ-like. We want to fairly represent you to a world that is waiting for us to be revealed, is groaning, the scriptures say, is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. So really show us and encourage us to maybe lay down some friendships and to take up others that we have allowed to kind of go cold. We give you permission. Amen. Great. Now, we're going to celebrate communion together. And I love doing communion. So I'm going to ask for 6 volunteers who would like to help me. And whilst you're just thinking about whether or not you would like to do that, could I have a couple of strong guys to move this table kind of like to the front bit here and that table over there to that front bit as well, please? Thank you. And if the 6 people who would like to come and serve me would like to come and stand with me, then I'll know who's with me and who's not. Thank you. Great, thank you. I've got 3, 4, 5, 6. Brilliant, thank you. You can just look at nice people's faces while I read the scripture, all right? I just felt I wanted to, it's good, isn't it, just to remind ourselves what God says. And so I was reading this. This was where I'm up to in the, I like to read the Bible every year through cover to cover. And this is where I got to in November. We're into Galatians. But it's a bit odd the way I'm reading it, because it's in the middle of the book of Acts, because I'm reading it in like a chronological order. So it's quite exciting, really, because you never quite know which book you're going to be into next. So I'm actually back into Acts, but I've just come through Galatians. So I was reading this and I thought, oh, that would be a great thing to read. You are all, and that includes me, sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. Like Isaac, we are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of a free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And if you don't understand that, that story is a very famous story about how God spoke to Abraham about a promise. And he got a bit kind of like cold feet and thought he'd better help God out. And so instead of waiting for the promise, he forced the issue and had a sexual relationship with his wife's maid servant. And as a result, a child was born. And that has caused us problems ever since. So we aren't children of the slave woman. We are children of the promise of Abraham's seed. That's what this says. And that's really good news, because we've been adopted into God's family. If you like, we're part of God's tribe. And how amazing is that? So that's what we're going to be celebrating this morning. So I have asked Timothy and Pam, and I've only given them about half an hour's notice, an hour at tops, that I was going to put this on them. Because sometimes it's good that you don't have an opportunity to get worried or anxious. Isn't that right, Pam? Good on you. So they're just going to spontaneously just play and just be led by the Spirit. And I want you to enjoy what they're going to bring to us. I want you to enjoy the bread. I want you to enjoy the wine. I want you to enjoy Jesus. I want you to enjoy all the benefits that we have because we are children of the promise. That we belong to Jesus. That we can stand, as we said right at the very beginning, blameless and spotless before him. Amen. So we're going to serve you. So just relax. We have all the time in the world. As everybody had some bread and wine. You may have had it in a different order to what you perhaps were thinking. It's good to keep you on your toes. I don't think it matters which one you have first. And I'm going to leave the tables here. We're going to end on a song. Andrew has just reminded me that they've already practiced this song. I'm no longer a slave. Yeah. So we're going to end on that. But if you want to just kind of like come and share bread and wine with, I don't know, anybody, you just feel like, yeah, I just want to remind us that we're family, we're in the same tribe, we need to just reconnect, you want to do that, then just feel free. We've got plenty of bread. Look, we've got massive amount of bread left, and we've got some wine and juice. And so just come and help yourself. Feel free to do it. Or, you know, you're feeling hungry, you're welcome. Jesus, we want to thank you that you are awesome. You're amazing. There's nothing that you haven't done for us. You've made full provision for us, not just for in our spirits, but in our minds and in our bodies, in our emotions, in every aspect of our life. Father, thank you that some of us, we live on our own, but we're part of a community where we're loved. That's good to know. Some people in other cultures think that when I tell them I live on my own, they think that's the most bizarre thing they've ever heard. And then when I say, yeah, my best friends, they also live on their own, in their own homes, and then they're even more mystified. But that's the culture that I live in. I don't know, it might change. So, but Father, thank you that you have made full provision for us, that none of us are ever actually on our own. So we want to thank you, and we want to end by just celebrating and thanking you that we are no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves to sin and death. We're no longer slaves to our own physical brains that tell us all kinds of things that are not true. We're no longer slaves. Your word says that our hearts have been circumcised, that the old sinful nature has been cut off. Trouble is, mine keeps regrowing again. So I just ask, Father, you'll just continue to do that circumcision in my heart, that the old nature has dead. Because if I'm dead, it's a lot easier. You don't get hurt when you're dead, I've found. So, Father, we want to thank you and bless you. We just glorify your name. Thanks for being together.